about that.
They don't even know what horses.
When this happens, I can give you detailed instructions on how to get to any place that's within 50 miles of this place. I'll give you the shortcuts to the best restaurants.
Ventura, Bakersfield, and Santa Barbara. Bakersfield and Santa Barbara will convert from Northern Cal to Southern Cal.
There isn't any place where you can get them off.
Yeah.
Do you think that's in the future?
Plus, not only in the, that is in the future, the capability of simulcasting Hollywood to Santa Anita is built into the original package. It's just they're not going to do that.
The article on Racing Forum this week said that maybe Santa Barbara and Bakersfield would be both northern and southern.
Later. Right now it would be southern. They're both opted to go southern. But that will probably happen.
Why such a division? Why they don't make the whole of California could fly from Golden Gate, Santa Anita?
Oh, let me ask that question this day for 100 years.
Yeah, let me ask the same question. It beats the hell out of me. I wish it would do that.
Yeah, then I could bet all the trucks I want.
Why don't we have racing in Texas?
Maybe Jim can string it all out for us.
I don't know what they're doing, I guess. I don't know the answer.
They have no agreement, Northern and Southern California, or they are at odds with each other?
They're at odds with each other in Southern California by itself.
Not to mention the politicians, but the racetrack ownership is a little archaic.
Oh, I see. Because it should be the whole of California you could play, from any place, north or south. In the south, they could bet the Golden Gate.
I'm looking forward to that, because I really like Northern California racing. That's always one of my better meetings, is Bay Meadows and Golden Gate. In fact, if I had the opportunity, I'd probably play there more so than I would at
Hollywood. Why is that? More predictable for you?
It is more predictable for me. It is a form condition plays a much bigger part up there than it does down here.
Less predictable than the people in San Francisco, that's why.
Well, I tell you, it is sensational. I really like it. And I just finished 9 days in Las Vegas, and I'd say that 80% of the money that we made for that 9 days was going to be paid. And it's generally that way. I find more plays to make, find races that are paying better. I much prefer going to
Were the class levels better defined or something like that?
There's more claiming races, right. And I really like claiming races away from the very bottom level, but that happens to be what I really like. And I don't like the bottom level, but I certainly like claiming. I just think you can get a better handle on it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were a couple other hands. Are they still on?
We need your address.
Everybody's got my address.
No, I haven't done it.
Even you new people.
We'll give it
33. I'll give it to you. 3330. Karen, K-A-R-E-N. Long Beach, 90808.
Oh, California.
And send it to me. I mean, I don't have an Inland Empire or Energy Dynamics Center account or anything like that on some of the checks that I've been getting for renewals. Make them out to me. I'll settle with the doc later.
Shut up.
That's right.
How much is done?
Oh, the variance?
Yeah.
45 for the meeting. I like that. Wait a minute. I don't want your question. Are you sitting up for a minute? Yes, sir.
Can you get
a
place
that would
be great for watching the race? Can you get that to Mike TV, like KBOC, Chicago SC?
That's the ideal way to get it. You're not a racetrack. Well, no, a racetrack is better because you can see it two or three times. Yeah. Next choice is your TV. Last choice happens to be the charts.
Yeah.
And I admit that, but I think they're also serviceable. Ever.
Well, we're going to try to show you how to make some use out of the charts and figures, too.
How do you handle a projected rating from the charts? He said he was having really trouble with that.
Well, brilliantly.
Yeah, I got to tell you, as far as projecting these ratings beyond where they are, I can't find that's been, yes?
Yeah, that wasn't my question. I mean, projecting a 1 to a 3 or a 2.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's been a problem for me. I mean, I don't see that many races. I'm just not projecting them, and I don't see it being any different. Now, what I find, though, is that I do use this quite a bit. To try to tell me, like, I projected yesterday that Bob's in 10. Not yesterday, but projecting that number from Bob's in 10 should have been able to step up from a 16 to a 25. As it is, he almost won a 32, but when I finished, I rated that $32,000 race as a 20. It was just poorly, the one Pulley won, was just poorly done. The pace was slow, the overall time was slow, and when you compared it to the other two-turn races, it was poor. I haven't found a need to project those. So, I mean, that's how I, you may find it differently. And, but I'm remember now, I'm not basing wind bets as such on these numbers. Now, I'd probably get a little more intricate in this process if I were basing my all my plan.
EP, you're projecting on early pace, huh?
No.
No?
I'm not projecting any of these. I project the variance. That's to make this number. But that is an entirely different subject.
Yeah.
He's talking about projecting that so 1, 2, and 3. Now, I also tend to cluster at 3 more often than I probably would if I watched them or tried to project them 2.
So you, all wire-to-wire winds, you generally classify as a 1 or a 2?
No, I've made very few ones. Very few ones. Quite a few 2. A wire-to-wire wind, let's define wire-to-wire wind. The horse jumps out of the gate by half a length, right? And he's around the track a half a length all the way around the track. But to me, that's a terrific performance. Yeah. That's amazing. The horse jumps out of the gate like Olympic Prospect has done several times at this meeting. He's defied the early energy parameter. He's jumped out of the gate and run 21-1 at Hollywood Park, and you shouldn't be able to run that fast. And he opens up 5-6 lengths. When he broke his maiden, he opened up about 8 lengths on the field and won by 3/4 of a length. I gave him a 1. Now that's different. That's when somebody puts away the rest of the field and there's no late speed, there's no challenge in the race. And you can get that pretty well from the charts. It's when you start, but that's the reason I cluster toward 3 a lot of them. Because often I can't make that distinction between 4 and 3 or 3 and 2, so I just go to 3. And I let this piece right here help me a lot because I'm pretty accurate on that one. You had your hand up too.
Have you all got all this material?
Yes, we've got it.
Any other questions? I think we'll go to the next subject. You want some of my part-time?
No, I'll just call them out. Well, I want to know, I want you to send me a box. I'll probably give you a self-address and not follow it.
You're so bad.
You still got to see what the other half's doing.
You're the only one that has to pay for it, though, Howard.
All right. I only get $45.
Right.
I'll just
appreciate
that. I thought that's what he charged you for that club this morning. You tell how great your stuff was, everybody should take them.
Oh, that's right. Well, we've had so many people the last couple of days say, well, you know, I guess we don't need variants. Are you going to make variants anymore now that we have synergism? I've got to tell them you're in for a wild disappointment. We expect that to replace it completely.
You've done it. I noticed with Purdy not here to defend synergism.
No, I've told Bob. In fact, he was going to originally write it so that you couldn't put in any adjustments in. I said, wait a minute. You can't do that.
No, we do.
So we, he and I are good friends.
Oh, I know. Well, I would have said to you guys, you were teasing about
the pride of authorship sometimes causes somebody to anticipate a little bit of positivity. Now, he's in Vegas right now doing very, very well. But playing Southern California tracks as you do it, or Northern California, you want the best service possible. You're not going to ever get it by a genie in a bottle. You've got to have, and you've got the best. He says he makes better variants than he does, and he's pretty darn good. So if he thinks Tom's better than he is.
Tom uses projected times to make variants. It's really advanced. It's kind of an artistic way to make variants. I just use class distance bars to make variants. There's much more error in those kind of variants than what Tom does. But to do what Tom does, you have to be really good at what you're doing and really understand the horses. So, in a sense, you're very fortunate to have somebody that can use the projected times approach to make the variance. Most accurate variance you can get. All the professional speed handicappers use projected times, but they learn that the other times are just a little bit too unreliable.
Tom,
to make a living at it.
Not in the last life, he must have been a horse. That's why you know you've got that instinct.
Well, he's half a horse.
I know. I've been on a diet now for about 3 weeks trying to get rid of that image. My wife asked me if I'm going to pull the starting gate in San Anita.
I said in the review of the Queen book and follow-up that he's pretty stubborn and he wants to see that it can be done. But when I first went to the first seminar on this subject, it fascinated me. I had the same material that you have. And I realized that what Tom has already pointed out to you, that for us at least, and really for the rest of the world, but we're not going to tell him about it, using a par total energy, or as he called it, pace variant energy, would be better than just final time. Because final time is affected, the total energy of final time, if you would take 111.1, is considerably different. Then 111.1 would be with a 44.4 or a 45.2. So we get a distinction of how the race ran incorporated with total energy. And I want all of you to think, are confused as to whether total energy and varying energy are the same. They are. Tom, we're in Southern California, so think of it as total energy being the varying number, the energy number you get from Tom. It's for Omaha, we have to explain the difference. We don't with you. That's the way Tom just described to you is an excellent way to use that. And it's a moot point to say if you were not using Tom's variant, how would you use it? Because everybody in this room is using Tom's variant. So let's be pragmatic, and we won't have to discuss how you would use it if you were not using his variant. Everybody here is, so go on to the next point. How do you do part two of this from the charts? Tom described that for a person who was very good at reading charts and who could discern competition intervals by just looking at the chart. Perhaps I find it much more exciting and much more revealing to put the feet to second numbers of the pace of the par and the pace of the race that you got out of the results charts and watch the horses. But first let's do not the pace par, but let's just do the results chart. Results chart. I throw this out as I did yesterday. He didn't say whoopee, but he didn't say no, that won't work. Let us say that the pace of the race is and who's got a you for me? I know that 22 is 60, so that's all right. And 45 is what, 58 something? Give me the pace of the race.
Well, you got 22 and 45?
Yeah. Now, those of you who have the stretch program in your large computers, put the stretch thing on, too. give me 45, somebody.
What's your final time?
Never mind the final time. That's the final fraction is 52.8.
I don't have that.
It's 110. Just take somebody divide 26. Boy, are you guys getting lazy. 26.40 by 45.
45, and what was his last call? One.
45
first.
Don't be stalling me with what's his last call. I know what his last call is. He ran at 110.
Take 26.40 and divide it by 45. That's the whole number he wants.
I got to deal with the real people out here who don't know that 45 is 58.66. Well, you're back there making fortunes.
Do you want the variant?
No, I don't. No, we're going to assume now that you've got the variant and all that stuff. You know how to adjust. Now you've got the race, and you know what the variant was. You know all these things. It was running in 22. This is the pace of the race, 45 and 110. We don't know what the stretch is, but we're going to put the stretch call in it because it gives you another point to see how the competition was.
Well,
if you don't have it on your computer, don't let it worry you. We have it on the larger computers and on the phone. So leave it out, but I'm just going to throw it in. Okay. I'm going to write a couple of scenarios here. Now, look at that. I'm going to give you one horse at a time. I'm going to give you a whole thing. This is the horse that was closest to the pace of the race in that. You're reading from the results charts. What, on a scale of 1 to 5, what was the difficulty of that race? We're going to say now that the winner ran the pace of the race. Just like
1.
1.
Ah, see how good you are? Now we'll try for a little harder race. What happens here, obviously, you can see. Now, you can do this with beaten lengths, too. Later on, it's going to get a little difficult to say in position. That's obviously a 1. Would it be? Would you say? Yeah. That horse went out, and that horse didn't run terribly fast. Let's say the par was a little under this, if you want to relate it to par. But regardless of what it was, he didn't have any trouble here. You don't have a big lead. And this horse never made an approach to gaining on him.
What is the top line?
Yeah. Top line is just a, in this case, we're making it the horse and run wire to wire.
It's a one.
So one, it's got to be a one. Okay, now, for those of you, now Tom can read charts. He can say a head, half, stuff like that. And he says, well, that's heavily contested. Let's look at a race like this. This is no longer the pace of the race now. This is the pace. This is what this horse, what one horse did, and this would be what the other horse did. How this one, we say, won it. The one on top won it.
He was pushing hard to sustain.
They were trading places.
The other extreme, is that not, would that not be a five?
Yeah.
Okay, now you, what I'm saying is that maybe, would you see these things where this horse was laying off a little bit and then made a big move on this horse. In fact, was probably a neck ahead of it. And was apparently ahead of it here and came on like this. If that horse won or if that horse won. Now, you really can't tell which one won from these kinds of figures. Whichever one won, by God, he earned it.
So then he's pressuring the winner.
So the winner should have better than one.
Hmm?
Well,
he add up the numbers. We don't.
Saying he's pressuring the winner.
I understand he's pressuring the winner.
So the winner should be better than one.
No, we gave
him
a
five. Yeah, five.
I said you gave the winner the one. This horse ran second.
It's an entirely different race.
He erased
the number.
He erased the number.
No, we're just comparing our numerical values to demonstrate what happened in the race. Relative to, we're saying that this was par in this particular case. We made an arbitrary par. All right, now, let's have this scenario change a little bit. Where do you put that race?
That's 3 or 4.
2.
3.
He made one. This is a one-move situation.
Yeah.
This horse did turn and make a move, and he started here, so it probably lasted, let's say, a quarter of a mile. So therefore, it fits that he made a bid for a quarter of a mile.
Give him 3.
Excellent.
I'd go 3 for sure, because I'm 4. Not sure it was a 4, and he said, I learned these words of wisdom. If you're not sure, go to the next
one. God is only half length behind it. And the quarter is right still right there at the half.
Yeah, he pushed. He pushed him right here, and then he made his bid all the way here, a
right.
Quarter of a mile, mm-hmm. And then he started. The other horse was just too good, and
yeah.
he didn't finish badly. A little bit, less of a
lost by less than one.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the distance.
Well, that far, the distance is 6 furlongs. That'll give you a clue.
That's a mile and a quarter. You better bet some ranch.
Okay, I tried to make this a 3. If I failed and made it a 4, then you can see the wisdom of this idea that cluster towards the mean is better than to try to stab at one of the two. Now, if you were watching on the TV, is this getting your approval a little bit so far?
Yes.
If you're watching on the TV, you would have a much, much better distinction between a 3 and a 4 and a 2 and a 3. And probably, and quite possibly, what we have to do now with this, using this, or if you can read charts, just take them off the chart, we have to then submit evidence to James that we are getting it right, because he's going to be doing it on the TV. And we have to do it with Southern California Race that he can check. Now look, if you get good at this, believe me, you're going to be twice the handicapper you are now, even though, you know, Jim can't use any more money, but he's getting now, but still, you can wager more maybe. You can't get any more money.
Tom, Jim's my brother.
Jim's your brother.
Well, I'm close, I got the same family.
Yeah.
Tom Hill. Tom Hill.
How could I forget that name?
Easy.
One question.
He's Jim. You're Tom.
The only thing you might not be able to see there, and I could tell pretty good, would be like when the second call, where he dropped 30 points, he might have gotten into, like, behind a horse where he couldn't get out, but you couldn't see from that, but you could on TV. In other words, he might have just enough trouble, because it appears that he gained just a little coming back on the final call. That's the only thing you couldn't see. Would that make a difference?
Well, a lot of people do it here. He didn't. Yeah, you have to say that those things that you can only see, you can't say you can see those, but you can get a pretty good idea. You can certainly get 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, right.
The 4 and the 2, as I say, may be distinctions that you can only make by empirical evidence.
That's something you will get the feel to.
Yeah,
and
it'll be a roll.
Can we test the water on this?
Certainly.
Can we test the water?
You're always
testing. How many people, just looking at that, will test your understanding of all of these numbers? How many people would rate that race that you drew up there as a 3?
Three plus.
How many of you rate it as a 4? How many would rate it as a 5?
No.
I'd probably rate that as a 5. I don't think there was ever more than a neck or a half length between those two horses from the time they left the gate to the time they hit the wire.
And especially because...
Yeah, but in doubt, go down one.
I agree. But just looking at that, I'd be tempted between 4 and 5. That's curious. Because if you learn to quantify these differences in terms of points, and there's just no difference between these horses. 0.30 is literally nothing. 0.20 at a quarter mile, That's like a neck, a head. Mm-hmm. And it stays that way for a full half mile, and then he loses maybe a half length beyond that.
Yeah.
No one.
My point is, learn to recognize what all these differences mean to you.
He failed in his bid, however.
He did do that.
So,
but that's because the winner repulsed him.
Yeah. But we're still saying they did it par. Now, if he had to go better than par to do it, then I'd say 4 or 5. That's the other point.
Where's the stretch ball? Isn't that a horse too much?
The only time is 0.30 in the 2 lengths.
Now, that last figure was 52.30 instead of 52.61. Mm-hmm. Then it would be closer to a 3, maybe, because he faded off at the end of contention.
So who said 2 lengths?
Two of us.
0.3, are you dividing 0.15 into that number?
Yeah.
That's a full 6 furlong number.
Well, what's that?
That's an eighth of a mile from here to here. That's nothing.
Oh,
see,
just
the 0.15 doesn't apply unless you've got the entire race or 6 furlongs.
Yeah.
Those are just broken down by segments then.
The 0.15. I got to tell you what I suggest for all of you to do.
One length.
Go back to the supplement. Remember the computer supplement and look up at the chart and see what these distances or what these differences are.
But those segments,
you can't take a fraction in the race, like a quarter of a mile, in this case an eighth of a mile, and say that
0.15 equals 1 mile. I didn't understand what those segments were, that's all.
That's the base of a race program.
Fraction at 6.5 furlongs, the difference is about 0.39, because of the being 6/16 and a half mile, the difference is about 0.40, final fraction. It's all in here, it'll give you a real good idea of what it's like. So you're talking about the final fraction at this particular distance, times they were running at 0.25, the horse, the difference between a length is 40.42. So 0.42 would be a length here, and by the same thing, 0.20 would be a half length. So you're talking about over that. We're talking about three quarters.
About three quarters of my feet races over.
So that's how you do it.
Well, in this example, these two horses were the same, right? One was the same win.
Well, then we're saying this one ultimately prevailed, and but how good were these horses? What was the degree of difficulty of this race? We're saying they ran exactly to the par, not only just the par final, but the fractional par.
But since they were the same race, in order to enter that computer, you're going to have to read the deep links off the result chart, and you're going to know that they have the neck and a half. You're going to know.
Yeah, but if you can see more by saying head, neck, and length, then use the chart. I see more using these numbers, and some of the people in this room see more using numbers. That's why I'm giving you an alternative.
An alternative approach.
Otherwise, and it also lets you put it in your computer, in a program you have, so you can keep records of it. You can keep then records of results charts. And supposing you look about 10 races, something like this, and you find out that on the Quinn scale they were a 3 and you had them as a 4, you can make a correction, or vice versa. And you'll be able to then have a record of it. Otherwise, keep your results charts so you and put what you said, and then when his records are available, we can check a given month in your life. Okay, that's one way. And either use this way or the other. Now, the other way, the one I was going to start off with, which I like better, which really gets you the feel of this. Somebody give me the par time for any distance, Thomas Pars, for any distance, but translated into feet per second. This will give you a way to.
What time you want? What?
I don't care. Give me a par for anything.
Okay, I give you a par for sprints, 40,000.
Okay.
56.57 for 6 furlongs.
Give me the part time.
All time, yes, I have 45 okay. And 110.1.
45 and 1?
Yeah.
No, 45 and 5 and 110.1.
Okay. Now, Tom, get this, because he could show you how to do something. He does very well. How to assign a first fraction based on a second fraction to create a par. What's the first fraction of R?
22.
Anytime you see a 45, that's why we always put a 22 with a 45. You're pretty well looking at the 22. Okay. So now, I know what this is. That's 60, right? And this was 58.66?
Yeah.
And we're not going to use a stretch on this one. 25 and 1 is 260, so what is it, 5266 or something?
5238, isn't it?
5238, is that low? Okay. We don't need the final time there. We need the three fractions of the race. Now these are, let's get rid of the 45 for this reason, that your array on your computer program, pace of the race, pace of the horse, or CompuGraph, or any our combo scan, do not use in this order, the second call, they use the second fraction. So what is 23?
5739.
Put this over here. So we'll know what it is. 5739, right?
For 23 seconds, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's a par. Now you want to use the, you know what the par for this race is, and you want to rate all the horses in the race and give them, they're coming from different races. And you want to see how they will stack up in the Quinn analysis against the par they're running today. If that's $40,000 race they're running. Then you've got several horses you think belong in this race. You just run this. Remember where it says put in the pace of the race? Instead of putting in the pace of any given race, you put in 22, 45, 110, and 1. Follows the part? Sure, it says, you want to do a horse? Yes. Number of race, put an X, put in one. And it says, okay, pace of the race, first call time, you put in 22. Second call time, then you put in
45. Why you have two-fifths?
45, right? You didn't tell me anybody two-fifths.
Well, looked like it from here, the way it was.
45. Okay.
45, yeah.
That was going to be second call. Then it says, final time, you put in 110 and one. Got it?
Yeah, got it.
Now it says, first beaten lengths. You take the number of beaten lengths that the horse you're entering would be behind 22. Well, let's say he's behind a 23 and 1, three lengths. You have a little problem now if he's running faster than 22. So what you'd have to do is just put in zero.